How much time till we're on?
We're on, Ron!
What?
We're on the air right now.
Oh. I'm ready. Good evening, I'm Ron Burgundy. Here's what's going on in your world tonight.
The award-winning 7-seat Kia Sorento, Kia's large SUV, available now at your nearest Kia dealer. This is Sports Day.
Yes, hello to it.
You can't open the show like that.
What do you mean?
No, we're a neutral party here. We're Switzerland.
You are so unprofessional.
What? We're Switzerland? Yes. Well, you go for the Sharks quite and no, tipped them to win the Premiership. How's that looking now, mate?
Mate, it's round one.
Doesn't matter.
It's round one.
Let's just enjoy this. Welcome to the show.
We've got a lot of Roosters supporters. Okay.
How good was it when they got flogged yesterday? But anyway, we'll get into that real soon. Hello and welcome to it, Sports Day for Monday Night Edition. Scotty Sattler and Matt Rogers here tonight. Their two teams got done badly on the weekend. Your mob, how do you lose to the Broncos?
We're a good team, the Broncos.
At home? No, please, come on.
And it's not how you start, Jason. How you finish.
Exactly right.
Hello to our listeners through the Super Radio Network, SEN 1170, SENQ 693 AM in Brizzy, 1620 on the Goldie, SEN track stations who are with us, and of course those listening to SEN Fanatic either via the SEN app or on DAB Plus somewhere around the country. It has been a massive weekend of you know what?
Rugby league.
And geez, it didn't disappoint. Big crowds. Big upsets, great games of rugby league. Gents, how good was it?
Well, I think what it said to all of us is that you need to be on your game, regardless of who you're playing, because any team can beat any team on their day. Mm. You know, we had a premiership heavyweight taken down by what we considered to probably be one of the most, you know, the struggling teams of the season in the Dolphins. We had Brisbane, who didn't have the greatest finish to last year, go down to Penrith and beat Penrith on their home turf. It's
can we mention Parramatta as well, just to upset Stephen Dubbo? How sad is my life when I'm watching that game on Thursday night and the first person that pops into my head is Steve from Dubbo?
Well, you know what, I literally said to a friend of mine, he said, who do I take tonight? I said, I'd be taking Melbourne. I think if, you know, they're both depleted sides. If, you know, I think Munster and Harry Grant get them home. When Munster went off, I thought, they won't win. But he came back and laid on a try, and then Harry Grant scored.
Compound dislocation of his finger, goes off and straps up and gets needled to the hilt, and now he'll miss 2 or 3 weeks. But doesn't matter; they still get the.
They got the points.
They got the points for the first round. Yeah, there's so many standout moments from the weekend. I love seeing Leichhardt full on a Sunday afternoon. They didn't get the result. We've got Justin Holbrook coming on the show, actually. The Gold Coast Titans had a great win at Leichhardt.
Great
tough
game
place
to play at. Great ground.
One of the highlights of your career if you play there on a Sunday, Arvo, on a really sunny day, the Wayne Pearce Hill. The Dolphins was an amazing start to a new franchise. To what they did against the Roosters was outstanding. I love seeing Tommy Trbojevic back at a packed Brookie as well. Mm. And love seeing Tommy Trbojevic when he's treating everyone else on the field
with like absolute disdain.
Absolute disdain. I loved it. There's a couple of times he got into open space and he didn't stretch out.
No.
He just took a couple of steps and passed it. And that's just him being apprehensive at the moment. As he warms into the season, we'll see the Tommy of old. But, yeah, so many great moments that stood out.
What was your great moment from the weekend? Mine was obviously the Roosters losing. 0457 736 736 or 1300 01 1170, as you say. Justin Holbrook joining us real soon. Great Australian debates. And one of the things you boys are throwing up tonight for us to debate, should have Appy Korosau started against the West Tigers? That did come as a bit of a surprise yesterday afternoon watching that game.
Oh, it was surprised me when I saw the teams come up as the Tigers are walking down the stairs to run on. And I saw that he was on the bench. I thought, what are they trying to do here? Are they trying to copy and paste what happened at Penrith at the back end of last year, where they start Mitch Kenny from a defensive point of view, not tire him out and then bring him on when your opposition is a little bit more vulnerable and fatigued? It didn't work.
And, you know, in the press conference, you know, there's always a reason why it happens. But, you know, do you think they're going to admit that they screwed up? Like, he's your marquee signing.
No.
He's your strike weapon at nine. And
he's your captain.
and you start him on the bench. I just think sometimes, and it happens, sometimes coaches try to overthink things. Mm. It's like, it's not a hard game. Put your best players in the field for as long as they can handle it and let them go and do their work.
See, there is an argument that the first 15 minutes, it's fair to say the Tigers dominated all the ball, all the field position. They were pressing the Gold Coast Titans line, and all they came up with was 2 points from a penalty right in front, drop kick out on the full. So the Gold Coast were great, and the argument is, well, they didn't really need him because they were dominating all the field position, but all that field position they had, nothing against Jake Simpkin. He's a fine young player, but when you've got a marquee player, a blue chip player like Appy on the field, and you dominate field possession and possession like that, you turn that into points.
Yeah, and points are what matters at the end of the day. You don't win by field position, you win by points.
But we are arguing against a guy who is arguably one of the greatest coaches of all time. So.
Yeah, but does it show that maybe he's been out of the game a little bit too long? Does it show that maybe, gee, I'll learn from that? Is he too proud to say, no, I did the right thing? Or is he, okay, I'll learn from that. That's not going to happen.
So the one thing about Tim Sheens that I know, and you know, fortunate enough to spend some time under him, in a short amount of time, is that he loves to try things. He's not afraid to try things. He's not predictable, is what we love about him. I love the style that they want to play, the Tigers. It's a throwback to when Benji and Robbie Farah and Brett Hodgson and those were there. And it's going to take time for that playing group to get used to that. And I'll go as far to say it'll take them a full season to get used to the style that Tim Sheens and Benji and Robbie want them to play. Well, but it is an entertaining style. But you've got to have the players to be able to execute it.
Yeah, and he did back in the day. He had the Hodges and the Princes and the Benjis. But is there too many chefs in the kitchen? Like, are there too many people in there? Like, I mean, Benji knows he's getting the coaching job. How much weight does he throw behind what he wants to do? You know, Sheens, he's obviously, you know, a master coach and has been there for years. It's like, I don't know. I mean,
I think what's unfolding there is just from an image, purely from an aesthetic point of view, looking at the very first time they went to the coach's box and Benji was in the front with a headpiece on, Tim was behind, and so was Robbie, is that it's a little bit like the Wayne Bennett, Jason Demetrio situation the last couple of years, or the last year, most notably at the Bunnies, was, I'm going to be the head coach. I'm going to let you drive a lot of the interaction and a lot of what we're going to do. And at any stage, I feel as though you're starting to sort of stray outside the edges a little bit. I'm just going to bring you back.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
And it's probably not a bad way to handle it either.
Yeah.
Hey, you talked about Munster being needled to the hilt. There's a really good text here from Darren from Redland Bay. Hey, Darren, just wanted to throw it out there. Munster needled to the hilt. Is that performance-enhancing drugs? It certainly enhanced his performance compared to not being needled to the hilt. I lean to not because it doesn't enhance what it would have been a normal baseline. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, well, I've always thought about this over the years.
I have too.
I've always thought, yeah, we've all played with injections and you get through the game.
And there's no doubt I couldn't have played without it.
Exactly, yeah. So, I mean, we sound really, very hypocritical now that we're retired and we've been through it. But for many, many years, I've always thought, and it's a really good text, that it potentially is it doesn't enhance your performance because it allows you to continue playing at the same level that you were.
Okay, so he's taken those needles to get back onto the field so he doesn't feel anything, right? Horrific injury.
And I'm saying that's speculative. I'm saying he wouldn't have got through that game without it. But I don't know whether he has or not.
But the Storm wouldn't have won without him there.
Without a doubt. Yeah, absolutely.
He's a freakish talent and they needed him. But I'm of the opinion that it's okay because it doesn't, as has been said, it doesn't make you better than what you were prior. But, you know, what makes me laugh is people saying, oh, it's so courageous. I'm like, no, courageous would be going back out there without the needle.
Exactly.
Getting the needle is the most courageous thing you got to think. It's like, it's going to hurt when you give me the needle.
I remember we were playing against Newcastle one night at the Gold Coast and I got split above the eye, went off to get stitches. And Jamie Goddard got stitched. He got cut straight away as well. And he came off like 30 seconds later. The doctor's sitting there about to put the needle in the eye to get stitched up. And Goddard came in and he said, I'm going to go first because I'm dummy half. I've got to get out there soon. I said, yep, absolutely, go for your life. Doctor, don't worry about the local anaesthetic. Just stitches straight into the eyebrow. No needle at all. Oh, honestly, I nearly fainted on the spot. It was horrific to watch.
That's courageous.
Oh, exactly.
That is courage.
Weekly workhorse. I love this segment that Daddy Vass has come up. This is where you blokes throw up a couple of players that that you thought were outstanding, worked all day. So we'll get to that real soon. If you've got one, 0457 736 736. Got the Kia Top 7 coming up from the weekend. What was your best moment from the weekend, Sats? What did you like and not like?
Oh, I love the Dolphins. It goes without saying. Our 17th team in the, in the comp. And we shouldn't be surprised. I mean, everyone's going, this is a great upset. And it is. It's an amazing upset. But Wayne did this in 1988 with the Brisbane Broncos. Yes, they had a lot of Origin players playing for them. But in saying that, they knocked over the Premiers Manly and put 40 on them as well. Didn't just beat them. They beat them comprehensively. So that was my highlight from the weekend, seeing the 17th team get their first victory in round one. Mine was the return of Tommy Trbojevic. I mean, I loved that, those scenes on Saturday, a full Brookie, and seeing Tommy Trbojevic just doing what he does all around the ball. He just, you know, you could just tell he just missed being away from the game. I love Harry Grant. I love everything about Harry Grant. I love the way that he just iced that game.
You're just
on
wild about
on
Harry.
Friday night. What I didn't like the Dogs' effort. That was really disappointing.
It was.
Yeah.
Can I ask you two a question? I watched that performance. I know we've been chatting a bit on WhatsApp over the weekend, but is Kyle, I'm just going to say, is Kyle Flanagan a first-grade halfback? To me, he doesn't look like it.
Mm.
Well, he is.
I think they're going to struggle
for
points.
I don't want to throw the kid under the bus. I mean, he's still learning. But he's been around a bit, but he's been bumped around a little bit. He's never really been settled. I think you put the right team around him, and it's about like
he's got some good cattle there, Matt.
You see teams, you see players in the NFL. They go from one team to another, and they go from being like an average player to a superstar, or from a superstar to being average because the system doesn't suit them. You got to design if he's your number seven, you need to design a platform that works for him. You can't expect him to become, a DCE or a Lachlan Ilias that we saw on the weekend. Like it mightn't be in his makeup. So the coach needs to work that out. And if he's not, or you don't want to play to that standard that he can deliver, you need to get a new halfback. That's the reality of it.
I think it comes down to his 5'8". If Matty Burton starts dominating games from a running point of view, and you've got a really running, exciting 5'8" that takes the game by the scruff of the neck, Kyle Flanagan is a really good guiding half that can just get you around the field and just serves the number six and let the six do what he does, like a Jack Whiten or someone like that. But what Kyle Flanagan and every team needs is if you score four, you want to be able to turn into six.
Mm.
And Kyle Flanagan, he can do that.
Right.
So Burton's got to take more control. If he takes more control, Flanagan becomes a really good number seven
for
him.
I'm not sure Matt Burton's got that in his game, though.
Well, he came up as a number six. But I think the success
think
he had
runner.
As a centre, he's either a fullback or a centre.
Yeah. And that's probably the challenge. And they've got to get that right. Mm. I mean, they've got time. It's round one and you don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater. But I've often looked at Kyle Flanagan and thought, what's stopping this guy from being the player that we maybe thought he was? You know, like when he was at the Roosters and he started there, like I thought things were going pretty good for him and then sort of fell off a cliff a little bit and then he was punted from there and he sort of hasn't really found his feet since. It's not easy when you're playing in a situation where you're sort of lacking a little bit of confidence. And look, he hasn't gone to a club that's firing on all cylinders either. So
but there's some good cattle around.
Yeah, there is.
But what? I'm not pointing. I'm asking the question.
Yeah, you're pointing the
because
finger.
Because I've even got mates who are Bulldog supporters. Yes, I have friends, and they're not impressed.
Well, they're the last ones you should listen to.
But how about how? Well, no, they're members. You should be listening to the people who pay the bills.
No, because they're biased.
Really. Okay,
and it's like Sharks fans used to just rip Chad Townsend a new one every weekend. Like what? Chad Townsend is a grand final winning halfback for him. The vitriol he would cop online, and then he goes up to North Queensland. Everyone bags him. He goes up there and he's like a god up there now. They love him.
Mm.
And it's like the members are the most harshest critics because they're so emotionally attached to it. They don't look at it through a football.
So no one can be a critic?
No.
Is that what you're saying?
No, you can be a critic. Absolutely. You can be a critic.
Okay.
But I'm just saying, the fans, they're so emotionally engaged that it's hard for them to look at it objectively.
Okay. Can I throw something else? That trial against Cronulla, form was pretty ordinary. As soon as he came off, Reynolds came on. They scored two tries, bang, bang. Why wouldn't you give Reynolds a crack?
Oh, look, he's... That's a million-dollar question.
Watch him play second grade the other day. They were 16-0 down. Josh Reynolds came off at half-time, but he had a hand in two tries in the first half, and they end up winning the Bulldogs.
Mm.
Yeah, I mean, it's a little bit too early to make those judgments. Okay. I think you've got to give the kid a go. And Matty Burton, I think they've got to persist with him at six, because if he gets it right and turns into that Jack Whiten-style running...
Yep.
Running 5'8".
I think that's what he's got to do. I think he's got to just run first, pass second.
Yeah.
And I know his centres probably won't like me saying that, but I used to, my centres didn't like me when I played 5'8 either.
Can I throw another halfback at you that I thought was disappointing on the weekend?
Why are you starting off with such negativity about the first round?
No, I want to get out. No.
Get it out of the way.
No, just throwing these on the topic.
It's all over.
You two are just all fairies and unicorns.
No.
Luke Brooks' performance yesterday.
Mm. Yeah.
Let's call it what it was. There was times there that he should have taken control, particularly inside the Titans 20.
Well, Eddie is on the text line saying, "G'day, Sats and Rat. Can you please acknowledge how poorly Luke Brooks played? He dropped the ball or turned the ball over with a bad pass four times in the attacking zone. He also made only eight tackles and missed six."
It was a pretty ordinary performance.
Yeah, look, it wasn't great. And that's they struggled in the red zone, and that's where he needs to step up. It's an important, you know, role of the halfback to get, you know, to put on tries. And, you know, the start of the game when they had a lot of attack on the line, that's where, you know, for 7 minutes, the Titans didn't have the ball.
Mm.
And that's where, you know, I think of having Appy Coruscant on the field, like the difference he would have made.
They look confused.
It just gives your halfback half a step, and that's all they generally need is half a step. And that's why when you've got a potent number nine, you know, it's such a blessing
for
your half.
It takes the pressure off the seven, doesn't it? Yeah.
You know, and it just, yeah, the mind boggles. But, yeah, look, he didn't have a great game.
Did you say bobbles or boggles?
He said boggles.
All right,
boggles.
I'm just checking.
Yeah.
Is there anything else?
Any other?
I'm just on
any
the text.
Any negative news early
on?
On
the text. The Knights again.
Yeah, they were good in patches.
You're the best
I'm smacking everyone. Because South's won, mate. Did I mention that?
I'm not totally off the Knights. They travelled to New Zealand. It's a hard place to win. New Zealand are coming off some good trial form. And I thought in patches that Newcastle were pretty handy. They were never completely out of the game.
Can I say, I thought Kalen, without being blistering and outstanding, I thought he started to warm.
He was solid
to the role later on in the game. And then he was taken from the field with a HIA.
Yep.
Which we're going to talk about a little bit later.
Brett from Nobby says, "My mighty Broncos, their D was unreal."
Mm. Outstanding, Brett.
Wins your premierships.
Yeah.
Defence. And, look, they aimed up.
Good part about the Broncos is that, they faded away at the end of last year. You've got to remember, with about 6 or 7 weeks ago, they were in and around the top four. Mm. But they've got to monitor Reynolds' involvement on the field and whether they take him from the field or at various times throughout the season. But in saying that... a lot of their players are now a year more matured in playing first grade.
Makes
they're
a big difference,
that, they're close
it?
To that 50 or 60 first grade mark where they know their spot within a side.
Yeah.
The other thing too, while we're on the sevens, Brian on the text on 0457 736 736 says, "Hey boys, Moses, he reckons, was poor for Parramatta."
Yeah, well, you know what?
It was a scrappy game.
I feel as though...
It wasn't a good game of football. It was a tight game.
Melbourne Para?
Yeah.
Did you not like it?
A lot of drop ball. No, the result, it was like high intensity. Yep. It was... But there were a lot of mistakes. A lot of coach-killing errors in the last 20 minutes of that game from both sides.
I've got to say, Brian, I think it's just unfortunate that Para came up against Melbourne in round one, one of the best defensive sides historically, who have effort on effort on effort and can destabilise you as a side. I think if Parramatta played a majority of the sides in the comp other than Melbourne with the amount of possession,
probably win pretty comfortably.
I think they win comfortably.
Yeah.
It's just that you came up against Melbourne.
All right, Justin Holbrook standing by to talk to us. Unfortunately, we can't do everything on a good note. Your mate's on the phone, Sats. Has he met Rat?
Is he on now?
Yeah.
We've got him on now.
No, your other mate.
Who? Todd Payton?
No.
Who?
Old mate from Newcastle.
G'day, Rat.
Oh, Glenn. How are you, Glenn?
Oh, Glenn. Yeah, I've met Glenn.
G'day, Rat.
Hey, mate.
G'day, Rat. G'day, Justin. G'day, Sats. How are we, boys?
Hey, Glenn, what's going on? How's the weekend? What's your Monday wrap-up?
I'm going to keep it... Hey, Justin, I'm going to keep it very short, mate, because I've got to get back into the air conditioning.
Yeah.
But given you two, you guys actually reneged on me getting the Wednesday and Thursday gig on our award-winning show...
Yeah.
I contacted my manager straight away.
Seriously, what a waste of time.
I want to hear what he's got to say.
Keep going, Glenn. I'm taking over from John Aitken on maps.
Yeah.
And also...
We're talking about footy, mate. I haven't got time for his rubbish. This is Sports Day.
Get back in the air.
Get back in the aircon, mate. You'll be comfortable in there.
Justin Holbrook joins us next.
The award-winning 7-seat Kia Sorento, Kia's large SUV, available now at your nearest Kia dealer. This is Sports Day. We'll be back soon. The award-winning 7-seat Kia Sorento, Kia's large SUV, available now at your nearest Kia dealer. This is Sports Day.
Here's a shift. Brimson pours through from the scrum. A killer blow. Brimson scores for the Titans and opens up a big lead once again. Justin Holbrook pointing towards the upright saying, run towards the post, AJ. Run towards the post.
Yeah, I think you might have a bit of a talk to him about layering up before you put the ball down. But anyway.
Well, let's find out if he did have a crack at AJ Brimson post-game. The coach of the Titans joining us now. Very happy coach, Justin Holbrook. Welcome to Sports Day. Justin, did you have a crack at him?
Oh, I wouldn't say a crack, but I did actually say to him, yeah, mate, bring it around towards the post. Don't keep running towards the sideline. But happy that he scored.
Well, mate, it's Matty here, mate. As a former goal kicker, I would have had a crack at him, I can tell you, if I was out on the field. It was a pretty critical time of the game. Mate, you must be absolutely wrapped. The effort of the boys, particularly in those first 10 minutes, you had very, very little pill. And, mate, the boys just really rallied. What was the thing that impressed you most about yesterday?
Oh, exactly that, Matty. I thought the first 6 or 7 minutes were sort of poor, I guess, a couple of slipped high tackles and then some bad kicks and things like that. But so I wasn't thrilled with that. But then the rest of that half, to have no ball and to keep them scoreless against a side that's talked about their attacks at all preseason. So I was really thrilled with the defence. And we don't have a lot of things go away, away from home. I think it was 6-0 of penalties in the first half. And we just kept defending. And that's what pleased me the most, Matty, is that we can't worry about that stuff this year. We've just got to get out and play well and hang in there. So we always know we couldn't sort of be dangerous with the ball, but you don't want to rely on that. And that win yesterday proved that you get your defence right, you can win games. And if your attack's on, then it just depends by how much you win by. But really pleasing the way we won yesterday.
Yeah. Now, Justin, some of the best signings sometimes don't wear a jersey on game day. And you talk about the defence, and one of your new coaches is Brett White. Was a lot of what happened yesterday defensively, especially in that first 10 or 12 minutes, was that a lot of the input and the mindset that he's had the players throughout that preseason?
Oh, definitely. Everyone has a good preseason, and obviously we were no different, but I just felt, with the players that we brought in and then also Whitey, he's had a huge impact with the playing group and invested as much time as he can in a week to make sure that we're right to go. And I know it's only one game, but geez, it was great to see, on show straight away in round one, how hard the boys had worked and got to see it yesterday in action. And great that full credit to the players and obviously Brett White.
You mentioned players you've brought into the group. Now, I've spoken to a number of Roosters players over the last 4 or 5 months, and they cannot speak highly enough of Sammy Verrills, not only as a player, but as the guy in the dressing shed, the guy at training. He's one of the most admired players from that Roosters outfit that have been so successful. And yesterday, Justin, you can see why. Right.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's like poor Sammy, we've just spoken enough about how we never had really the ball yesterday. And he was just making a million tackles and just enjoying it. The big thing for me was sort of half time when we come off and we obviously led, and the two new guys, Sammy Verrills and Kieran Fornish, mate, how good's that? That's the best defence we've ever been involved in. Things like that is just so good for our group. You know, you two both know we've got some great young players coming through with, you know, Tino Daves and AJs and Moes and all those guys. But to have some key guys, you know, talk about how good that was. And obviously we had to play second half yet. And we had to hang in there because the Tigers were coming at us. But just to have the impact of what they do just makes my job as a coach so much easier.
Mate, we'll get to the bad stuff. Mate, Foz, how bad is it? And can you tell us, will he be right to play this week? I know PCLs can be one or the other. They can be not too bad or you can be out for 6 weeks. But, you know, how's it looking? Do we know yet?
We come out of his scan late this afternoon, and the physios are pretty confident it is the PCL, the back one, but also his medial as well. So it's not major, which is great, but I don't think, I'm certain he won't play this weekend. But we're pretty confident it'll be probably a 3 week type of injury. We've got to wait sort of for that to be definitely confirmed, but that's sort of. But Foz is great. He said, "I'll be right. It feels good today." And he's got his little leg in a brace. We're flying back, and he said to me, "It feels really good." I said, "Mate, it's in a brace."
He's keen. Oh, mate, you'd rather that than the opposite.
Yeah, he's keen. 100%, mate. And that's what I love about Kieran. He's just so competitive and lost faith. Mate, I'll be right. I'll just strap it up. I'll be right. I said, mate, let's just get the skin.
Well, mate, we saw the benefit of that.
Yeah.
We saw the benefit of Kieran Foran on that left edge with Fifita, you know, early in that second half for the first try. With him not being there, Jaden came on and you put him into six. That was a surprise to me, and I'm sure a lot of people that were watching probably would have assumed that you would have moved AJ up, considering you played a lot of six last year. Is that something that you'll stick with, leaving Preston in the front line, or is something you've got to consider?
We'll definitely consider it. Obviously, we'll wait to certainly definitely know Foz won't play, but as I said, I'm pretty certain he won't. And then we'll just have a chat about it tomorrow. But, yeah, we sort of had that plan going into the game. Paul Jaden, it's always awkward if you're a back sitting on a bench. You could come on anywhere at any time, and, you just got to be ready to go. And we'd made a decision beforehand. If wherever he came on, he would just play. So I'm not moving two people.
Yep.
But having a full week ahead of us now, I'm not sure. We'll have to have a chat about it. But he's trained everywhere in pre-season, JC. So and he defends really well in the front line. And obviously, there's not much of him. We all know he doesn't weigh a lot, but he gets that little bone shoulder in and hits pretty hard. So I'm comfortable for him to play six. We'll just have a chat about it.
Well, there was not much of his old man either, and he seemed to manage
his old man
pretty
made
well.
His debut at 58 kilos in 1998. Yeah, right. So I always thought Jaden would end up a six eventually in his career at some stage.
Justin, he looked good when he came on.
Yeah, he looked great. He looked great. Hey, just on Justin, another player who's a key to you, and he's only turned 23. We've got to keep reminding ourselves he only just turned 23 two weekends ago. And with both Fimoor going down, which is heartbreaking for rugby league fans, especially for you, Dave Fifita really need to take control and a real leadership role with Bo going down and one of those centre of attacks going away. I loved his involvements yesterday. Not so much the big runs, the ones where he's in the open space and drawing the fullback, because a lot of those dirty runs were coming out of your own trial line, but also some of his defensive efforts as well were really impressive.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm glad you noticed that, Seth, because, you know, as a coach and as other players, look, I've heard Kieran sort of have to defend him already. He's only really played a game and a half with him around. Now, everyone wants to see the big stuff, but for me, it's exactly what you just mentioned. Like, I think he was our third top tackler yesterday. He had our most carries, and like you said, he did plenty of tough carries yesterday, and he just kept moving. On a day which was round one, it was hot as anything, and we had no ball. They're sort of, as hard as you're going to get, and you're not match fit, all those factors, but he still got through the full 80 minutes and worked really hard. So that was great for us, absolutely.
Yeah, he certainly he stood up yesterday. If you can get that for the rest of the year, I think it's going to stand the Titans in good stead. Mate, you got the Dragons this week, a bit of an unknown quantity, not the not the smoothest pre-season in the world, but they're going to be up for it with being their first game. What needs to improve at the Titans moving forward? It was a great win, but it's round one and there's always areas that you're looking at.
Yeah, well, I guess, yeah, that'll be dangerous, especially being fresh. Obviously, no one, you know, would have been awful having to buy round one, but the other thing it does give you is you've got everyone fresh and fit and firing, whereas we've got to look at a couple of guys. But anyway, we've got a full week. We'll be ready to go by Sunday. But the thing for me, mate, we can't afford, especially away from home, that, you know, we fumbled our way through the start yesterday. And as the game wore on, that's just the way the game went. And, you know, we didn't have a lot of ball. But early on, that, as I said to you guys, that was our wrongdoing. You know, we did a couple of lazy high shots. We did a couple of poor kicks out on the fallen dead and things like that. That we don't want to be having 40% of the ball and having to tackle all game. Like, it was so good for our character building straight away round one to show that we can win that way. But we don't want to, you know, it's too hard a game to be having to put yourself under that much pressure all the time. So I guess the flip side, you know, and it was only a trial, but we flew out of the blocks against the Dolphins and got everything right with the details and never really gave them a look in the trial. And we've got to try and get that right for Sunday so we can give ourselves every chance and not be sort of on the back foot, which we were for most of yesterday.
Did your pasty skin get sunburned over the summer, Justin?
Life on the Gold Coast. Well, protect yourself.
Yeah, well, no, the beauty of it in the last game on a Sunday, mate, you're sort of just stuck in a hotel or the hottest part of the day, so I didn't even have to put sun cream on, mate. And Leichhardt Oval's terrific. The box is about a metre square and there's no air con and it was awful, so I'm glad we won.
It didn't look like there was a lot of room in there yesterday with Big Mal on
Big
there as
Mal
well.
And Brett White either side of it. Yeah.
That's right.
Hey, before we let you go, Justin, a couple of texts. A lot of love for the Titans today. Best moment for me was the Titans' performance at Leichhardt. Hammered in penalties, hammered in six again calls, yet they gutsed it out. That's from Des from the Sunshine Coast. And Mike Titan from the GC says, great weekend seeing the Titans win their first game. And then Liverpool thumping Man U. Mm. So, mate, a lot of love around tonight from our SEN and Sports Day listeners.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, I've had a couple of people from England text me around that soccer game. I said, mate, no one cares about that. There's only one team over there, St. Helens. Yeah.
Nice one.
All right, Justin, good luck, mate, against the Dragons this week. And we always appreciate your time on Sports Day.
Mate, thanks for having me. Thanks, boys.
There you go. Justin Holbrook, coach of the Gold Coast Titans, one of our favourites.
Titsy.
Mate, I think they've got
did
a lot.
Did you know that?
I did know that. Yeah Titsy. Yeah, I think they've got a lot to offer the Titans. You know, I really do. They've got, you know, strike weapons everywhere. They stay healthy and they get those combinations right. And he's right. If they get that start right, like what they did to the Dolphins, they can punish a side with their
Well,
weapons.
In years gone by, when you talk about those key positions, your hooker and your fullback and they haven't had any real solidarity
stability.
Around there.
No,
so
stability.
Now you've got AJ, who is a premium,
now,
a premium
fullback
player. Yeah. And now you've got Sammy Verrills, who's a premiership-winning hooker at one of the most successful clubs in the modern era.
Yeah.
And then you've got your Fifita on one side, and you've got Tino, who's one of the best forwards in the game, who's still only 23 years of age. Yeah,
he's young, like JoJo Fifita. What a weapon.
Yeah, 18. Like,
they've got a terrible golfer, JoJo Fifita.
Horrible.
Was ahead of us.
He
was ahead of us the other day.
Did he have more shots than you, though?
All right, we don't have to go there. but, yeah, how about that combo, Foran and Fifita? We won't see that, as we've just heard, probably for the next 3 weeks, but that combination
worked
on the left.
Well, didn't it?
Mm. Oh, didn't it what? Break time. This is Sports Day. Thanks to Kia. When we come back, lots of NRL news.
The award-winning 7-seat Kia Sorento, Kia's large SUV, available now at your nearest Kia dealer. This is Sports Day. We'll be back soon. The award-winning 7-seat Kia Sorento, Kia's large SUV, available now at your nearest Kia dealer. This is Sports Day.
With Matty Rogers and Scotty Sattler tonight, 0457 736 736 is our text number. It's time for our brand new segment. If I could just find...
Good preparation, Wookie. Well done.
Well done.
I know.
Yeah, good.
We're not doing weekly war horse, are we now? Anyway, it's a new segment called A Great Australian Debate. I'll cut it out, mate.
It's just about preparation. It's not. Yeah. It's not difficult.
Are you right over there, the new guy?
I'm just waiting. Like, what can I do? I don't have any buttons to press.
Hey, before we get into the HIA stuff, and Graham Annesley's come out this afternoon and spoken to the media, such really good text there. Is there a stitch up towards the Eels by the NRL?
This is from 877. Having to play Manly, this is Parramatta, having to play Manly round 3 after they have a bye, Penrith round 4 after they have a bye, Roosters round 5 after, you guessed it, they have a bye. Yeah, when you look at it like that, it doesn't seem fair. Now, I don't know whether the NRL still do this. To get the draw, they feed it into this system that...
Well, it's a company that does it. They farm it out.
Yeah, it's Dexter, isn't it, from Perfect Match?
From Perfect Match, yeah. So they feed it into Dexter, and Dexter comes out with,
it out.
All these, you know, the 25 rounds or whatever, however Marans are. I haven't even looked this year. But and this is the scenario that has played out. And when you look at that from an NRL perspective, you would think, yeah, that's a little bit unfair. Now, historically... when you play after coming off the bye, you lose. But still, you're playing against a healthier athlete.
Yeah.
So
there you go. Rightio, let's get into... Maybe. I've got a new segment here, boys.
Yeah.
Dividing families across the nation. It's time for the Great Australian Debate.
And tonight's is about the HIO. It's the big news. Ricky's blowing up over the weekends.
I love Ricky.
He says the NRL don't trust him. Right. Well, why do we have one doctor... in the bunker with the referees. Do you want me to play the audio right now from Graham Annesley this afternoon? He addressed the independent doctor.
I think give it some context.
Yeah. Right, here we go.
We've seen too many players retire because of prematurely because of head injuries. And that's why we do this. No one does this to be a narc, to you know, take the team's best players off the field. We're just trying to ensure that players are safe. And will teams be forced to play without some players that they would not have otherwise taken off the field? Yes, they will. And will it happen at times where they don't want it to happen? Yes, it will. But there's no alternative. There is no alternative.
A few coaches have said it should be left to them. What do you think?
Well, the thing I'd say about this is that it used to be left with the clubs. I wouldn't say the coaches, but it used to be left to the clubs. The reason, the primary reason that they were calling for us to introduce independent doctors is the clubs don't trust each other, right? Because there's all sorts of claims made about, oh, they were rorting the system, or they took that player off and it was a rort, you know, he didn't need to come off with a head injury.
Yeah, I agree with Graham 100%. Leaving it in the club's hands would be akin to leaving the salary cap in the club's hands and saying, no, no, you manage it yourself and we'll trust you to do it. This is a very serious issue. This is protecting our players. And there's at times when in the heat of the moment, you're going to make poor decisions. And if you leave it in the club's hands, I think poor decisions will be made. You know, we've lost, like you said, many players to, you know, the Boyd Cordners of the world to premature retirement. We've lost people's lives. You know, Paul Green recently, tragically lost. A severe case of CTE from head knocks. This is bigger than 2 points. And I know it's emotional for players and it's emotional for coaches and it's emotional for fans when they see their player leaving the field. But think about the bigger picture. It's not just about the 2 points. It's about a player's welfare and their health. And I think the NRL are doing a great job. I know the doctor who heads it all up, Sharon Flahive, she is 100% about the player's health and safety. She doesn't care about 2 points. She cares about the players. And I think that's what needs to be. It's not that the clubs don't. But they're so heavily invested in that moment that sometimes decision making remains unclear, and that's what I believe needs to happen. What is happening?
It's emotional to you too, personally, Brett.
It is
with your father.
Yeah, it is. I mean, he played in an era where people got bashed around the head, and it was like a badge of honour to start on the field. We played in that era, Sats. I mean, I remember being like that concussed, not remember coming up off the field, being in the dressing room, getting woken up basically, getting some smelling salts waved under my nose and sent back out. And it was like, yeah, I'm going to do it. You know, I don't even remember the game. You know, like it's something that, and now the game's changed. We know more now. It's like saying, we used to spear tackle people 20 years ago, and that was like a cool tackle. Well, we know now that it's going to cause someone to break their neck, and we've got to look after players, so we don't do it anymore. Well, we know more about the brain now. We know what causes severe, you know, damage to the brain and these head knocks. And, you know, I'm all for what the NRL are doing, and I'll stand by what they're doing 100%.
I tend to agree with you as well, because the players are, a majority of the players are accepting it as well.
Yeah.
When they're told they've got to come off for some sort of assessment, they just make their way. There's no one that's animated that rejects the claim that they've got to come off. They all make their way off. There are some players that do respond negatively to it. I don't know whether you agree with this. I agree there needs to be an independent doctor.
Yep.
I think we need to take away from the pressure of a club doctor having so much media scrutiny on if they make what is supposedly the wrong decision. So I think we need to take that away, the pressure from them. I think the independent doctor shouldn't be in the bunker. They need to be at the game. They need to have all the resources to be able to watch.
Mm.
And I think they need to have another coloured shirt on, as opposed to what the club coloured shirts are, the trainers are at the moment,
yep.
for them to go on the field with the club trainer to observe the player to see whether they need to leave the field.
Okay, 0457 736 736. What do you think? Send us through your text or 1300 01 1170. This is Sports Day for Kia. Back in a moment.
The award-winning 7-seat Kia Sorento, Kia's large SUV, available now at your nearest Kia dealer. This is Sports Day. We'll be back soon. The award-winning 7-seat Kia Sorento, Kia's large SUV, available now at your nearest Kia dealer. This is Sports Day.
Welcome back to Matty Rogers, Scotty Sattler here tonight. Yeah, 0457 736 736 or 1300 01 1170. Concussion is, and the HIA is a massive conversation tonight. Mick from Wollongong, you've got something to say, mate.
Hey, fellas. Yeah, I do. I remember a game at Shark Park some years ago. It was interesting to hear Matty talk about getting knocked out and not remember it, but I remember this game like it was yesterday. Matty went down the right wing, and as he was going past Danny Ainscough, he poked his tongue out at him and went and scored the try. About 15 minutes later, Matty was going down the right wing again, and Jamie Ainscough came across and levelled him. Absolutely levelled him, and put his nose from one side of his face to the other, and everybody said it was an accident. And I'll give you the tip, Matt. It wasn't an accident.
No, I remember that day.
He deserved everything he got. That's
it was broken in about it. I said to the doctor, is it broken? He goes, broken. I said, how many spots is it broken? He goes, mate, it's smashed in 1,000 pieces.
Thanks for your call, Mick.
Thanks, Mick.
Karma.
0457 736 736 is our text number. 1300 01 1170. We've got a lot to get to. Let's get to a break. We'll come back and we'll get to your text. A lot of talking points to get through. It's a big night tonight after round one of the NRL. This is Sports Day. Thanks to Kia with Matt Rogers and Scotty Sattler. Back soon.
The award-winning 7-seat Kia Sorento, Kia's large SUV, available now at your nearest Kia dealer. This is Sports Day. We'll be back soon. The award-winning 7-seat Kia Sorento, Kia's large SUV, available now at your nearest Kia dealer. This is Sports Day.
Yeah, welcome back to the show. Scotty Sattler, Matt Rogers on a Monday night. Jeez, it's an action-packed show. 0457 736 736 is our text number, or 1300 01 1170 if you want to talk to the boys about a stack of discussion. So we're going to get into our weekly workhorse segment in just a moment. What's for dinner, Sats? What'd you heat up?
Right. Light and easy.
Oh, how easy is that?
Some sun-dried tomato pasta.
It's very nice. Are you on that? Have you chucked on a couple of kilos?
No, I just like to look after myself, Jason.
Has your wife given up cooking? Has she? Is that what she's doing?
Why is it always up to the wife to cook, Jason?
I didn't say that. But
well, it's what you're inferring.
No, what I'm inferring is that she's home of an evening normally, and she normally cooks you dinner.
Trying to backpedal out of that, aren't you?
No, I'm not.
Yeah.
Not at all. Is your wife cooking, Matt?
Again.
Yep, she would be. I cooked last night.
A great lady, your missus.
She is, yep. I cooked up a beautiful, it was like this, I can't even remember what it was called. It was nice.
I can't remember.
What was in it?
It was like beef and rice, and it was like a Mexican.
Beef and black bean.
No, it was like a Mexican like beef thing with sour cream. It's Hello Fresh. Have you used those?
Oh, no. All the ingredients come and put it together. It's a great idea.
You got a little menu card. Yeah. And you cook it. It's unreal. I love it.
I'm glad I asked.
Makes life easy.
I'm glad I asked.
You're glad you're sexist. You're saying.
What do you mean?
Well, what you are implying is that, well, the wives are at home. They should be cooking. That's what you're implying.
Well, yeah.
Don't you start.
No, I was going to say.
You're still on probation.
I was going to say that, well, I'm here, so I literally can't be at home cooking.
Mm.
And it's the same with sex. And we do have two kids at home.
How many you got?
Like to eat. I've got four, but I've two live at home.
Yeah, do any of your kids wear the crap hat that you wore in today as well?
Oh, you've got to stop,
honestly,
mate.
He's got this range of horrible hats.
Yeah. But it's not good, mate.
You look like you should be sitting.
Are you guys being serious?
You should be sitting on a corner at Byron Bay playing a banjo.
It's fashion, baby.
And with one of your other crappy hats, people put coins in it.
Hey, on the text line, I brought up just before about. I think the independent doctor should be at the grounds. They should have another coloured shirt on. Go on the field with the club.
Yep.
Trainer to monitor the player. The dribbling accountant has said on the text line, another coloured shirt. The bunker will look like a cast of the Wiggles.
Yeah, I don't mind. I like that, Sats, having the doctor at the...
Can you take your hat off? Seriously, I can't take it serious.
Yeah, no. No, I'm leaving it on.
Yeah.
The doctor should be at the ground.
Yep.
But I think the player needs to be removed from the field. Takes 2 minutes to do an assessment, get him back on the field. Don't put the doctor out there in the middle of everyone so that everyone knows who the doctor is so that they can get abused when they're leaving the ground.
Is the big question moving forward that if you've got a Category 3, which is the lowest form of sort of head knock / concussion, that you're still off the ground for 15 minutes?
It's too long.
I think that's one of the next arguments that's going to rise. But in saying that, if you're talking about the player and... This is not about concussion. This is about if you have suffered a direct blow to the head. Yep. And I'll use Kalyn Ponga as an example.
Yep.
Now, there wasn't from an illegal act. It was an accidental knee or hip to the head.
Which happens.
It's still contact to the head. If you have a head clash, both players, not one of the players, both players have to leave the field to be monitored at some stage because it's direct contact to the head. Yep. Even though they're not showing any signs of concussion, there is a thing called delayed concussion. A lot of players can get.
Mm. John on the text has said, wow, Matt Rogers, powerful commentary, sir. Thank you. Read the HIA and the comments around your dad and other footballers. What else is there? There's actually Fitzy, your good mate, is on the line now. He wants to talk about HIA as well.
I hope that's all he wants to talk about.
Fitzy, hello, mate. Welcome to Sports Day.
Hello, boys. Well, we were good mates, but he sprayed me on national radio. Unbelievable.
Oh, come on. Get your point out. Come on.
Hey, hat. Is it that hat you wear everywhere?
Yes, it is. Good hat. Yes, it is.
Did you buy it from Byron?
No, I didn't.
Did you and Fitzy take a day trip down there?
My wife gave it to me for Christmas, so, mate, you get in trouble.
I'm not scared of her.
What's up, Fitzy? What have you got to say about the HIA?
Well... the thing that we're all forgetting, when you're actually concussed, you don't know you're concussed, do you? You're the last person to know you're actually concussed.
Well, that's a very good point.
So and a player can't stand there and go, I felt fine. You don't know you're concussed.
Yeah. Well, I think that's where the symptoms come in or the look, you know, like the player stumbles and all that sort of stuff. But it's such a fine line. And which side would you like to err on? You know, the cautious side or the, you know, we'll just roll with it side. You know, at the end of the day, you know, we're talking about players' welfare. And, you know, the RLPA fought for, you know, in the CBA, you know, better working conditions for player welfare, you know, post-football. Well, the league is working for, you know, player welfare within the game. It just goes hand in hand. And... you know, clubs need to buy in. Go, that's it. That's what it is.
The quicker we get
stop arguing,
the quicker
it.
We accept it, and move on. The easier it's going to be.
You're going
to
lose players,
yep.
in critical times of the game because the game's hard and people get knocked in the head. That's the reality of it. You're not going to tell your players not to go in as hard as you know in a critical time of the game because that's when it becomes the most physical.
Yep.
So we're going to lose players in critical times of the game, and I think as fans, we need to understand that the players are human and they've got a life outside of football, and we don't want them vegetables, or we don't want, you know, what we've seen in the past happen. So I think, you know,
I think we all agree that what's happening at the moment, how it's going to continue to improve, we are going to have a lot healthier rugby league players.
For a long time.
Males and females in 10, 15, 20, 30 years' time.
Yeah, good call. On the HIA, thanks to Fitzy for your call. Evening, gents. On concussion in the NRL, got nothing to say because Sats and Maddie both just nailed my thoughts exactly. From Brendan, is it if there's an independent doctor to rule on HIA, does that mean we won't see trainer-induced HIAs at the 20-odd metre, 20-odd metre minute mark? I think he means 20-odd
minute mark. Yeah. When your big men are meant to come off and...
Good call. And it's an interesting too on the weekend.
You do players see that occasionally.
We know clubs like to try and find any way they possibly can to flirt with the rules.
You don't. Let's just say, you know, teams do what they need to do to win games of football because it's important. There's a lot riding on those 2 points every week. When it comes to players' health, though, that's where you got to draw the line.
Mm. Yeah,
that's the reality of it.
Rightio, boys, it's time for this.
Tough, hard, rugged, grit, no nonsense. It's the stuff that makes a player. The weekly workhorse.
Oh, that's good.
You like it?
I do.
You like that one?
Is that, who'd that describe out of the three of us?
Well.
Who's that describing?
Don't open up that can of worms.
It's not the bloke with the hat. Seriously. It's down to you and me, Sats. <Yeah. laughs> Rightio, weekly workhorse. Who's yours? 0457 736 736. Who wants to kick this off tonight?
I'm going to say, based on the amazing performance by the Dolphins, got a text here also from 4208 saying, hey, Scott, how's the Dolphins squad? Yeah, they went all right. They went really, really well. They did.
Oh, mate, and you got to watch the Dolphins documentary.
I watched the first one today.
Oh, so you saw their recruitment policy and what they were thinking, how wise it was and not overspending and not getting caught up, not chasing their tail for 6 years like some clubs.
That's recruitment 101.
Yeah, right. So they've done that.
Mm. Yeah.
And they won.
Yeah.
And you're not going, no, you're still happy?
Yeah, I'm happy. I'm happy. Just checking. I'm happy.
I was ruined.
But Felice Kaufusi, when you're playing the first game for a new club and you've got to
set a standard.
Well, your first season is about setting standards, isn't it? Absolutely. About what the club's going to be like in 5, 10, 15 years' time. So Felice Kaufusi was the senior player that really defensively turned that game in favour of the Dolphins.
Boy, Butcher is hit by Kaufusi. Have a look at Felice.
Yeah, and also on the back of that, we got a text message. I'm just trying to find about Kaufusi's hit on Brandon Smith.
The shoulder.
Wasn't that a shoulder charge or did I miss something? That's the Blue Mountains Rooster. No, I thought it was a good shot.
Good,
his
good
arms
solid
were
tackle,
out.
Yeah. He was under his shoulder height and wrapped him.
But he rattled a few players.
He hit him hard though and he bounced out of his arms.
He got to the stage where the Roosters players were looking through the corner of their eyes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think Brandon Smith was the same after that hit. He looked very... He didn't take the ball to the line like that again.
Egan Butcher, they were all rattled. Yeah, Sammy Walker got levelled by him as well.
Well, he's always been on the same side as him. He probably hasn't felt that sort of wrath of Felice in the game. So,
Who's yours, Matty?
Mate, mine is a little halfback, Lachlan Ilias from the Rabbitohs. Absolutely phenomenal performance. Stood up and played such a senior role. Mate, I was so impressed with him. Last year, I felt like he was out there filling a hole. He was all right. I think he's taken his game to a whole new level, and boy, I tell you, if he continues on that vein, South Sydney are going to be very hard to beat.
Agree.
Murray on to Ilias. The dummy! Oh, he almost got there. In fact, he does on a second attempt. This is a dream start to 2023. The Lachlan Ilias saves a try moments ago and scores a try to put South in front.
Yeah, they looked good. They looked good. And to the text line, 5-3-3. One thing that really annoys many people about your show is the constant slagging off about the Roosters. Remember you, Goose? Hundreds of Roosters fans march with South and other fans to get them back into the comp. Stop bagging. It's boring. Shows a lack of understanding and respect about the history of the game. Not a South or Roosters fan.
Okay. Okay, but do you understand there is a feud between the Rabbitohs and the Roosters? So you, whoever you are, you don't understand how much we hate the Roosters and how much they hate us.
Who's we? Is that in South fans?
South fans. You mean you heard old mate last week say from the Roosters that how much they hate South from inside the inner sanctum.
Mm.
So it's called a war.
A rivalry.
Does create that rivalry. Yeah, yeah.
It's real.
He's taking it very personally.
It's also a bit of jealousy as well because they have been really, really good.
Yeah.
They have. They've been really good for a long time, the Roosters.
Who's text that? You know what I reckon?
No soup from you. Come back 1 year.
No, please come back. We like your opinions.
Got to go to a break. This is Sports Day. Thanks to Kia.
The award-winning 7-seat Kia Sorento, Kia's large SUV, available now at your nearest Kia dealer. This is Sports Day. We'll be back soon. The award-winning 7-seat Kia Sorento, Kia's large SUV, available now at your nearest Kia dealer. This is Sports Day. The award-winning 7-seat Kia Sorento. It's the Kia Top 7 on Sports Day.
Certainly is, boys. Let's tear into the top 7 moments in the NRL from the weekend.
Oh, there were plenty of them. And I've got the number 7 moment of the weekend. I just mentioned him before, Lachlan Ilias. Just phenomenal performance. Really stood up. I'm excited to see what the rest of the year brings for the young man.
Yeah, absolutely. And mine was number 6 was the audio we just heard earlier on was the effect that Kaufusi had for the Dolphins. And a lot of those senior players were absolutely outstanding. Young Isaiah Katoa was amazing as well.
Yeah. Well, number 5, Reynolds guiding Brisbane home over the defending premiers down there at Bluebet Stadium. What a win by the Broncos and what a performance by Adam Reynolds.
Reynolds behind the play. He's on the left. Here he comes. Adam Reynolds. He nails it. Adam Reynolds with the field goal. Ice cool as always.
Yeah, number 4 is first time in his illustrious career over 230-odd games. Daly Cherry-Evans, round 1, scores his first hat-trick against the Doggies.
Cherry-Evans takes an intercept, and it's a rare afternoon for the skipper. He bags 3.
Number 3, a moment in time that can never be taken away, is the first try for the Dolphins by the Hammer. What a moment.
Marshall King, he's on the tarmac with plenty of support. No one will catch Tabuai Fino.
Yeah, amazing. Amazing he was at fullback. Number 2, what a game to kick off the NRL season on Thursday night. Goes into Golden Point. And a man who I think by the time he retires will be one of our greatest hookers we've ever seen in the game. Harry Grant nails it.
Munster is just pointing. He's marshalling the troops around. Harry Grant from dummy half. Harry Grant takes off. Harry Grant scores next to the post. And this brilliant, perfect record of Bellamy stays intact. Harry Grant, the match winner. Melbourne Storm have stolen it. 16 points to 12. At no stage of regular time with a Melbourne Storm in front. You go to extra time and Harry Grant goes bang.
And the number 1 moment, which I think every rugby league fan will agree with, there's all the hype around this game. The Dolphins playing the Roosters. No one gave them a hope. Their first game, they go out and they get the win. What a huge moment for the Dolphins.
The Dolphins are winners in game number 1. I'm here to tell you, I think this bloke Bennett might have a future in coaching.
There you have it, the Kia Top 7 from the first round of the NRL, the award-winning 7-seat Kia Sorento. Kia's large SUV, available now at your nearest Kia dealer. Before we go to a break with Joel and Fletch on the other side of it, Sats and texts.
Rooster Mongrel says, Woogie Worm and the Rat, good luck to Sats the second team. My mob got what we deserved. I'm surprised we only got beaten by 10. The Roosters, of course. Having said that, in Robbo's 3 premiership seasons, we never won in round 1. Crap stat.
Yeah, definitely a crap stat. You want to get off to a good start. But yeah.
Crap stat.
You don't win or lose the season in round 1. This Golden Point. We saw a couple of Golden Point games, and one of the texts here from Gary says, "Hi fellas, Golden Point is a joke. For example, what if a team has 2 Golden Point games, loses both, gets nothing? could cost them a semi-spot. It should be 2 points for the winner and 1 for the loser. What do you think about that?
I've always believed...
Should get something for...
I've always believed at the end of extra time, if it's a, at the end of regular time, if both teams, obviously, we're going to get a golden point, I think both teams get 1 point. And I think you play for the extra point.
That
golden
a,
point.
Yeah, that's a good...
And Badge used to always say... No,
well,
that means
what that is. That's what he said there, basically.
Badge used to always say, no, that means there's 3 points in one game. You can't have that. No, there's only one team earning 2 points.
Yeah.
So 1 point for each team after the end of regular time, you play for the extra point. Yep. And if after extra time it's still all square, well, both teams got a point out of it.
Yeah, that's I like the thought of that. Maybe it's something that they'll look at in the future. But, yeah, not at this point.
Sporty Gav on the text. Sorry, enjoyed the performance by Harry Grant on the weekend. Yeah, you boys did too, didn't you?
I think he was the best player from the weekend, individual performance.
And I'll tell you, like, I did see a text here saying that someone was saying that he's the best player in the comp. He's one of the best players in the comp. Well, he is. Mm. You know, there's no question about it. He just has that ability to put your team under pressure and get them on the front foot. And just he's just devastating ball runner.
Righty, I've got to go to a break. This is Sports Day. Thanks to Kia. Keep your texts coming through. We'll try and get through as many as we can. When we come back, Joel and Fletch join us on Sports Day.
The award-winning 7-seat Kia Sorento, Kia's large SUV, available now at your nearest Kia dealer. This is Sports Day. We'll be back soon. The award-winning 7-seat Kia Sorento, Kia's large SUV, available now at your nearest Kia dealer. This is Sports Day.
Welcome back to it. Matty Rogers, Scotty Sattler here for your Monday night. And like we do every Monday night at this time, we catch up with the boys from the run home.
Been some stunning debuts in the last week or so. Scott Sattler on Let It Ride was outstanding. Our man, Matty Rogers, outstanding last week debuting. And I'm pleased to say the boys alongside Woogie are on the line from Sports Day. G'day, boys.
Hey, boys. How are you?
Going good.
What about the appointment for tomorrow, appointment radio, where our man, the Wallabies coach, will be chatting to you, man. Is that right, boys?
Yeah, so what happens is, what Rat does, Rat's got this ability to just drop as many names as humanly possible in a show, in a two-hour show. So... Yeah. Last week we were talking about a couple of things and he just throws it. We spoke about Kelly Slater and he said, oh, yeah, I played golf with him a few weeks ago. Took his money as well. What? What are you talking about? So then he texts on his phone and he said, oh, I've got Eddie Jones come on next week as well. Oh, so just like that, bing, bang.
Oh, I'm just trying to impress, you know, the locals.
Yep.
Yeah. It seems to be working.
Yeah. Who we got coming on?
We got
Slater too.
Yeah, yeah.
Unfortunately, nice it's Michael Slater.
But...
yeah. Our only issue.
What's happening, boys? Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
not much.
Just getting Big over chance. A great week of footy, really.
Oh,
you'd be up and about, you Queenslanders.
Oh, mate, we're pretty happy. Four wins. Mm. I was just wondering if anybody had that multi. I wonder what it paid.
Yeah.
Well, before. I would have had the 4 wins. I had 3 of the Queenslanders, Matty, but I was talked out of the 4th one by this bloke here.
I've got to say, the Dolphins recruitment has been some of the poorest recruitment I've seen in rugby league.
Yep.
Really, really bad recruitment.
Their halves are a concern.
I mean, they've got great experienced forwards. They're going to keep them in the battle defensively. But where their points are going to come from, I don't know. A lot of their players... I mean, if you were looking for positions and to sign players, there wouldn't be many players from the Redcliffe Dolphins that you'd look at to try and take from them to bring to your club.
I think there'll be plenty of
28 points later.
There'll be plenty of coaches looking at Isaiah Katoa right now. Yes. I reckon they'd love him.
First pass to Hammerso was forward anyway. So.
Didn't have a great game.
Are you dirty because of the Firebirds scenario?
What about the Firebirds? I was the Jets.
Whatever your rank.
Yeah, I was the Jets.
Whatever your rank team is going to be. Are you dirty that they got in?
No. Well, I was dirty at the time. Not dirty now.
Have any of you blokes watched the first episode of that, the Redcliffe Dolphins?
Watched it today?
Yep. Did you see the recruitment philosophy around what they were doing, Sats?
Yeah.
What did you think of it?
Standard.
I thought it was very good.
Yeah.
I think they're smart in what they're doing.
Standard. Do tell. What is it, Rat?
Have you not watched it?
No, I've been busy watching other shit.
Yeah, right. Get off your phone, mate. Get off your phone. And get out of your bathroom.
Have you not washed it yet?
What is it?
No, it's just the making of the Dolphins, really. And it goes back 18 months, you know, back to, you know, they've got a camera in their face pretty much all the way. And just, you know, they sit down with Sully and Kurt Richards and Benny and just sort of go over there. They're basically filming the roundtable discussion around their recruitment. And it's quite smart. And Benny's logic behind who he signs and why, what he's trying to get out of that player, just gives you a bit of an open look into it. It was pretty. I thought it was good. In watching that, I thought the recruitment's been real good.
Would Fletch be part of those discussions if they were talking about future players or?
It would have been.
If Fletch was 33, how old were you when you retired, Fletch?
33.
You would have got another year out at Redcliffe.
Yeah, there you go.
You would have got another year.
About you, Sats? How old do you retire?
33.
Yeah, no, I don't think they would have taken Sats.
He would have blown up anyway. He would have blown up. But they were impressive. I thought we were speaking about this on Let It Ride, saying they'd be up emotionally.
Mm. Yeah.
Mm. And we thought, well, when they got it to halftime, I thought, oh, that was a good effort, 12-all, whatever it was.
You didn't really think they were going to cling on.
No, I didn't think.
We shouldn't be surprised, but with what Wayne did with the Broncos in 88, they lapped the premiers by 40.
And, you know, he's got a history of pulling things out of nowhere, hasn't he, with teams? So.
Oh, hang on.
But, mate,
that's his party kid.
Yeah. No, I was most concerned about the halves, you know. I mean, you got... You know, Sullivan, who's, you know, played in a dominant side, he hasn't really had to, you know, I mean, you don't have to steer a side around when it's Penrith. I mean, you do, but you've got a lot of senior players around you and, you know what you're doing and you go into a system that's already functioning. And then you throw in another young half who's never played in the NRL. So, gee, are they gonna do all right? You know, are they going to be able to handle this? They did more than handle it. They controlled it.
Yeah.
Which I thought was great.
Pretty impressive.
And that try just before half time, was it, where Katoa ran on the fifth tackle?
Jermaine Asako.
You know, really just summed up the situation well, just showed an amazing amount of poise and maturity for his age and laid on a try, which was great.
Jeremy Marshall King, I thought, was
outstanding.
He's a good player.
Isn't he? Like, he's an old-fashioned... scheming hooker.
Speedy. Yep.
Doesn't it go to show how important a nine is? I just think it's the most important position on the field nowadays. Yep. If you don't have someone who can give you, like, just threat at nine and just, you know, have your markers locked in and your A defenders locked in, everything just comes flying out to your halves, and then there's pressure on them, pressure on your edge players. You got a guy at nine like a Harry Grant or a Marshall King showed it on the weekend, or Sam Verrills for the Titans. That just makes all the difference.
They're talking about Sam Verrills and the Titans. How good is it on Sunday afternoon still, that Leichhardt Oval?
Oh,
it's outstanding.
It's like the eighth wonder of the world for the West Tigers, isn't it? Leichhardt Stadium. Running back towards the Keith Barnes stand. Oh, mate.
I'm going to give you what gets said more.
Okay, yep.
Leichhardt Oval is the eighth wonder of the world.
Yep.
Damien Cook is a beach sprinter.
Yep.
Or Billy Slater was a former track work rider. Yep. What do you
reckon? Eighth wonder. No, it's been going longer.
I reckon Damien Cook is a beach sprinter.
There was a show on that.
Yeah.
You know, just on the beach sprinter, and Sats, correct me if I'm right. No, but apparently Jeremy Marshall King, I think you'll find, he's clocked the fastest time as a number nine.
Really?
Really?
He's right? Quick.
What, in the league?
Yeah, I believe so.
No way.
Yeah.
Well, he's...
Damien Cook.
His half-brother was pretty quick.
Mm. Yep, yep.
Yeah, it's obviously Benji's in the genes.
Wally. Hey, Sugar, where have you come up with that stat?
It's just been sort of floating around.
That's not convincing at all.
It's not at all.
I would say Damien Cook over 50 gets Marshall King.
I know at one point... in a given year, Jerry Marshall King was easily the fastest dummy half.
You need it over 10. That's all you need. That's where you need the speed.
That's for dummy half. That's right.
Yeah, you need 5 metres, 10 metres. That's it. That's where you want to measure the pace of your number nine.
Sucking up each other. Now it's time for this. All right, Rat, you don't know much about this, but... Okay. I don't either because I've lost it.
Yes. Yeah, well, you amateur.
No. Here it is. Here we go. So, get this into you, Rat. A surgeon in the Gold Coast will be investigated by the country's top health officials in Australia, after he erroneously removed a man's penis after he wrongly diagnosed him with a tumour. The 30-year-old surgeon has since been accused of causing serious injury to the unnamed patient from Helensvale, which is in the Gold Coast region. The unnamed patient had his penis surgically removed at the Helensvale St. Francis of Assisi Hospital on November last year. The ill-fated procedure occurred after the urologist incorrectly diagnosed the patient, understood to be a man aged in his 30s, 1 month before the disastrous incident occurred. The amputation, however, went down without a hitch. So at least they got that right.
That's right.
So, Rat, there's some weird stuff that goes on up in Helensvale, I'm hearing.
Well, if you spend a bit of time on the Gold Coast, there's plenty of things being added on and taken away from people.
Yes.
Look, it's the first I've heard of that, but I'll steer clear of doctors in Helensvale.
I've heard of that. I had an operation with the great Neil Halpin.
Mm.
I had my groin done, cut either side, and I woke up with something else.
Really?
Yeah.
What was it?
Yeah.
Brian?
It's hard to say this without getting in trouble.
I've got a similar story to this.
Yeah.
Burnt.
Yeah.
But say burning.
Yes. I've got a burning spot in a very tender spot on my...
Got exactly.
Yep.
Really?
And I was like, is the G up? Did they do this on purpose?
That's what I think.
I'm sure they did.
So where was the burning spot?
There was
spot?
Iodine.
Matthew?
Or betadine.
Yeah.
It was on probably the most tender piece of skin on your body.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That hangs off your body.
Whereabouts? Like what part of it?
Well, in the groin region.
Yeah.
You can imagine.
Like on the tip or?
Just under.
Yeah.
Top under?
Hat. Okay. Under
think
that.
Of the top hat.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Think you're going to Ascot races.
This is a proper G-up. Like I had my conjoint tendon repaired. My groin.
Is this with Neil? Did Neil do it?
I don't think he might have, to be honest.
Yeah, he would have, for sure.
I think it was. Yeah. I don't know.
I
can't put a finger on exactly who the surgeon was, but I'll never forget that. Just waking up and just, like, my groin feeling not too bad, but then this other burning sensation being really uncomfortable and thinking this has to have been a G up. Like, they could not have not seen what they've just left there. The betadine on that spot. Wasn't
good man.
Fun.
He's a good man, Neil Halpin.
Oh, he's very good.
Yeah. Have you got any A grades? I've got a couple of A grades. Can I throw the A grades in?
Yeah.
First one is last Friday, myself, Woogie, and Daddy Vass Cohen went and played golf. And I think everyone's an A grade when you wear a golf pair of shoes and a golf glove and then over 18 holes shoot 121 off the stick. That's an A grade.
Who had golf 100%. Shoes on?
That is an A grade, Woogie.
I do not have golf shoes
on. Proper A grade.
You're a liar. It was Thursday.
And played at my local course, which is in Great Nick, and tries to blame the greens.
Mm.
It's horrible.
121. It's the biggest score I've ever seen.
I don't have one, actually.
Hey, Rad, I've got another one for you.
All right.
If I throw this at you, and also you, Woogie, if you go to... Actually, you shouldn't answer this, because you spend half your life in public toilets, Woogie. Would you go to a public toilet barefoot to go to the toilet?
Oh, it depends what situation I was in, but... If I had to choose, definitely not.
Yeah, exactly.
Of course you would.
Exactly. So if your shoes are there, you can, or your thongs, you can put them on, go to the public
toilet. Oh, yeah, I'm putting them on every day of the week.
My A grade is Joel Kane. On Saturday, just gets out in between the break, rushes to the public toilet, bare feet. It's disgusting. Oh.
It's not a real public toilet.
No.
It is a public toilet.
Rat.
Fill me in.
So it's a Saturday, and it was scarcely populated, the SEN HQ here, Brian. It was basically just us here.
7 day cleanings, by the way.
7 day cleans, and I was barefoot, but I raced in there because I had no time on my hands, and I went the wide stance. It was all nice and dry and clean.
and it was play on.
Yeah, yeah. Oh. What about the Rubik's? They just fly down.
There's a few random Rubik's.
That's my worry. And the Rubik's just they're sitting on the urinal and they just float down.
Yeah.
And they land on your feet. And you go, Hello, Michael in accounts. Woogie, have you got one?
Yeah.
Have you got a retort?
No, our new producer, Daddy Vass, used the toilets here at work like Joel did, but ours aren't just for our staff. They're for everyone in the building. Went in there the other day with no shoes on. Mm. Everybody is urinating in there. And the other one is...
No, I'm with that.
Nah, it's disgusting. But the other one...
It's what?
Is disgusting. That's how Sat says it. Right, you can't speak properly. The other one is Dan off maths last night going back to the ocean.
I loved it.
What a jerk.
How good was it?
Are you watching maths, boys?
I didn't see that part.
Yeah.
What do you mean he went back to the ocean?
No, he's got to get back to the ocean. He's leaving the show to get back to the ocean. He loves his true home. Yeah.
Does he surf or he swims? Or
I don't know.
But he goes to the gym for 6 hours a day.
And his missus's name is Sandy. And he wants to get back to the ocean. Does anyone see the irony in that?
Ah, that is good.
Have you noticed Evelyn, boys? She speaks quite normal until she mentions a partner's name. So she'll be talking normally and then she'll go... Have you heard that?
I'm missing out on something here.
Yeah.
I've got to get in.
How are you going, darling? What are we going to do tonight? It's just, mate.
You don't have a pet voice for your wife, Joel? You don't have the pet voice?
No, I don't actually.
No, she's got a pet one for me.
Yes, she does. Yeah, right. The tone changes dramatically. I'll let you see that.
Hey, Rat, we need an A grade. So do you know the premise of it?
Yeah, I do know. I've got an A grade. It's a mate of mine.
Yeah,
and he constantly texts into this show. About stuff about my personal life.
Oh, is this Fitzy?
Yeah, Fitzy. Yeah.
He's the guy that rang up last week and said, hey, what do you think of Matt Sears? We go, well, yeah, no, good player, quick, good fullback. He said, no, Matty Rogers' ears. So that's the Fitzy he's talking about.
Yeah, he's just text through here, ask Rat about his hip.
Yeah, exactly.
What's happened there?
Oh, mate, it was just, I woke up in the middle of the night and I couldn't walk. So I had to go into hospital and I had to have I was in proper pain, and I feel like I've got a fairly good pain threshold. Mm. I'm probably sounding like an A grade myself now.
I get in there and they did an X-ray, did
ultrasound, sort of saw nothing. I'm like, shit, there's got to be something wrong. I can't even walk.
Language.
Sorry.
You forget you're on air. Language.
I ended up getting an MRI and I had an 8-centimeter tear in my glute. And all the blood had sort of gone into my hip, and that's what was causing the pain.
How'd you tear your chaminda?
Well, I don't know. That's the thing. I sleep pretty heavily. I said to the missus, there was nothing going on while I was asleep, was there? And she said no.
It's the obvious question.
I hit some golf balls on Thursday, and I felt fine. Came home, watched the footy.
Did you play golf with Fitzy?
No, I didn't.
Okay.
No. He was meant to
play. He seems to know a lot about your life.
He was meant to play with us on Friday, but he pulled the pin. But I'll play with him this Friday. I'm going to hit golf balls at him. I hope he's in the group in front of us.
Yeah. Can I just say about your man, Fitzy? He's prolific on the text, on the Twitter with his dog.
He's good boy. He's good.
He just peppers everyone with his beautiful dog. What sort of dog is that, Brian?
That looks like a Ridgeback.
Is it a Ridgeback?
I'm not too sure.
Yeah. Is that a Ridgeback?
Fitzy's a carpet cleaner, isn't he?
Yeah.
No, I think he's gone into a different business now. He's doing earth moving equipment, buckets and attachments.
Crust pizzas, didn't he?
Yeah.
Oh, he gets around.
Entrepreneurial.
Yeah. Man of many talents. Mm. Man of many talents.
Can I give you my A grade, boys? Yeah. Speaking of dogs, I took my dog down to the park.
What sort of dog? I have a fluffy little thing.
Labradoodles. Yeah, Pixie and Dexter.
What are they going to make poodles with please, next?
Please tell Rat the name of your cat that you lost.
Jinx got cleaned up by Tarago.
I've got a cat story that'll blow your mind. But we probably don't have time for it today. But
yeah, we do.
Anyway, go on. No, give us your...
Before you go, is it better than your ass-tearing story?
Yeah, it's better than that. It's better than
you got an 8-centimetre tear in his blurter. Tell us about the cat, Rat.
Well, I had this cat, and it was a beautiful cat. His name was Bodhi, and it was this Burmese kitten. And, mate, it was like a dog. It would come to the beach with us and everything, sit with us. And it would come in the car with
that's
us.
That's weird.
It was a beautiful cat, and the kids loved it. And...
But...
I'm we're flying to Queensland this one day, and I've got my brother was staying at my house, and our landlord sort of came to check on the house, and as I'm walking into the airport, they're calling out, "Oh, Matt Rogers, you know, Chloe Maxwell, you need to board your flight," and like we hadn't even gone through the gate yet, so like through the security. So I'm like freaking out, thinking, "We've got to hurry,
Again.
Sorry. anyway, I get this phone call and it's my landlord. So I put him on speaker. And I'm like, "Oh no, I didn't put him on speaker. He's just talking into my ear and I'm talking back to him." And my daughter, who's like, you know, 7 at the time, was in front of me, and she's like, "I've just run over your cat." And I'm like, "You've run over the cat?" And like I'm repeating it back to him. And my daughter's standing right in front of me, crowded airport. We're in a rush, and she starts bawling her eyes out, looking at me. And I'm like, "Oh, this isn't good." And then he goes, "Oh, I think it's dead." And I'm like, "It's dead." And then she just erupts. They cut you off.
Oh, that was so sorry, good. That was so
sorry,
good.
Sorry, Rat.
Cut you off.
Oh. Anyway. Sorry, bro. We've got to go, honestly. We've got to go.
That's horrible.
You're the best. You're the best.
That's horrible.
Good to chat, boys.
Hey, Rat, pick it up next week, please. Yeah, right. If you don't have a 9-centimetre tear in your other bluto next week, let's not speak.
The award-winning 7-seat Kia Sorento, Kia's large SUV, available now at your nearest Kia dealer. This is Sports Day.
Yeah, welcome back to it. And for those who are big fans, look out for the Matt Rogers Cat Story podcast, which is coming soon.
Mate, I'm off those blokes.
Hey, can we there's a text story. Message here for 3302. Hey, boys, I'm a plumber of 35 years. This is on the back of our chat with Joel and Fletch. Just a bit of advice. Never go barefoot in a public dunny. Your skin is like a sponge and it soaks up everything. So put some pluggers on, just watching your back.
Ugh. Oh, yuck.
Good
Daddy
advice.
Bass, mate. Put your shoes on.
Joel might grow a sixth toe.
Oh, I hope
New Farm, Australian through and through, bring you the weather. If you're listening in Port Macquarie, beautiful part of the world. My mum and dad before.
Scott Hill?
Oh, yeah, and my mum and dad at Lake Cadai. Beautiful part of the world. There's a thunderstorm on the way tomorrow in the Arvo, and that will continue into the evening. New Farm's products are formulated with the highest quality right here in Australia. New Farm, Australian through and through. Do you want to talk about Jordan Rapinoe and the judiciary? He's accepted a 3-week game suspension for his hit on Drinkwater. Yeah, he has.
Oh, mate, he's got to get it out of his game.
He did make contact with the head.
And it's just a habit for him now. And he's got to break that habit.
It's ingrained, isn't
because
it?
Because he's going to, you know, you can't be spending time on the sideline. He's a good player. He gets good meters for him. He's a dominant player. He's a good finisher. And he's costing his team, so he's got to change that.
Wade Graham would have faced 3 weeks on the sidelines for his reckless high tackle charge, but we'll fight it tomorrow night at the judiciary. Your thoughts on that?
I would have pled guilty, and the reason, and maybe they're going to try and get it downgraded on the night. The thing that stood out for me when looking at the replay is his feet are 6 inches off the ground. The minute you lose your feet is the minute you lose technique. And that's where it went wrong. If his feet are on the ground, it may have ended up differently. But because he left the ground, it then becomes reckless.
I think the only argument they've got is that it bounced up off the ball. But the reality is reckless, it doesn't matter.
Mm.
It's like if it bounced up off the ball because you've got your feet off the ground, you've got no control.
Yeah.
It's deemed reckless. And look, that I mean, it's going to take 3 weeks or potentially get 4 or maybe get it downgraded. They've got, you know, Royce Hunt to come back. I don't think it's an issue losing Wade, but
yep.
I think they can survive for the time being if he's out.
Last laugh shortly. Text messages before that.
I haven't got one.
You've got a refedex of jokes, mate.
Yeah,
just don't get Matt.
I haven't prepared.
Just don't get Matt to tell one. It could go forever.
regarding Rapinoe suspension, this is Mike. Vossi called it a brutal act. I call it a premeditated dog act. Unlucky for Drinkwater, given Rapinoe doesn't play a few games between suspension. The bunker saw nothing warranting a send-off or 10 minutes, not even a penalty. The judiciary saw 3 weeks. How does that work, boys? Yeah, well, there's a lot of players around Rapinoe as well, so the on-field officials, I can get that they didn't see what had happened, but the bunker definitely should, because under the new rules, they only interject when there's something that's a reportable offence. Yeah.
Mm. Right, yeah.
Any other texts there, Rat?
Yeah, there is. It's what about the ladder and how it looks upside down after round one? Manly, Titans, Dolphins, top three, Penrith, Para, Sharks, Roosters, all in the bottom eight. Belmont from Clarence.
Yeah.
That is so true, isn't it? Like it's and look, it's round one. I've always got this had this opinion that, you know, give me 6 weeks of footy until we can sort of make a real good judgment on what, you know, how I feel like the season's going to pan out. If anyone tipped a perfect round in rugby league this week, I'd confidently say they don't know rugby league.
What'd you
get? I think I got 5, 4.
I got 6. What'd you get?
I got.
What'd you miss? Roosters 5. And Brisbane. Redcliffe and Brisbane. Yeah.
That's what I missed.
5.
Yeah. Rightio. Mm. There's some other stuff. A few people agreeing with me about Ree Flanagan, as well. I saw that, and someone reckons I'm premature with a lot of stuff going off on round one form. Thanks, Brisbane. I do deserve that. Matt and Jason. What about the? Oh, you've done that one as well. But no, there's God, there's so much that's come out of round one, isn't there? That's just been absolutely amazing. Let's do it.
On Sports Day, it's time for the last laugh with Scott Sattler.
I can't believe I just wandered in. He's coming right in. He's going to do a set after me.
The stage is yours, Sats.
I know you like to undersell it a bit.
Honestly, I don't have one.
This is embarrassing. Are you serious? You don't have a joke.
Did you hear about... I've got one. A quick one. Did you hear about the snail that he driving his car around, and he wrote an S on his car just so people know when he's driving around? It's I got it wrong.
This is horrible.
Yeah, no, I haven't got one tonight. Mate, put your hand up. I need a bit of wave. I haven't got one.
Well, what a great finish to the show anyway. We'll be back tomorrow night. Grab the podcast, Sports Day New South Wales. We'll see you then. What a show.